You're listening to Crossroads International Church podcast. Welcome. We hope this podcast will bless you from wherever you're listening to it. For more information, go to our website at xrgs.nl. And now, let's get into the podcast.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. It's been a few weeks, I know. I've not been on holiday per se. I've been busy writing sermons and was at the Alpha Conference and all sorts, but it is good to be back with you. Can I just start off by saying, sure, these families are beautiful, hey? Oh, what a blessing. And can I just, to you parents, can I just say to you, listen, firstly, can the parents just turn to each other if you are, if you are still here, if one hasn't left or whatever? Just turn to each other, and I want you to just look at one another and just, you know, look at your spouse, whatever, and say, listen, I've got you. We're in this thing together. We're in this thing together. We can do it. Can I just say to you, there are going to be times when these beautiful angels of yours are going to frustrate you and annoy you. I'm sorry to have to tell you this. Those for whom it's the first time round, I see some of you, you know, you've had a few rounds already. But can I just say, there are going to be times when it's going to be rough. But can I just say to you, as somebody who's now been married 32 years and my kids are now a little bit older, today, and so this is to encourage you, because there are going to be moments when you're going to question, have we messed them up for good? Did we do something right? This morning, can I just tell you, so this morning, my son collected his sister and then picked up my wife, their mother, and they have, at their own initiative, and this is the best part, at their own expense, arranged to take their mother out for the day. So there will come a day, parents, when, and really, this is what you've just prayed, actually. He thought, can we just do things in such a way that the day will come where they will be off my payroll and they will still love us. They will still love us and want to talk to us and be with us. And so to you, I say, with God on your side, you're going to be okay. It's going to work out, right? Okay. So if you'll allow me, so I'm in the process of wrapping up a sermon series that I've been busy with for, well, it's a year, maybe even longer. And so in the coming weeks, we are wrapping up the God Story sermon series. We're picking up the story in the God Story. It's a sermon series where we are reminding ourselves of God at work in human history as we find it in the pages of the Bible. And today we pick the story up again because remember, it's just been Easter, right? So we pick the story up again after the death and resurrection of Jesus. He's then spent some time with his followers, and we've reached the point now where he's saying to them, listen, I'm going to go and be with the Father. And it is now you that I'm going to send into the world to go and speak and live the love of the Father and speak the message of the kingdom of God. But don't worry, I'm going to give you help. I'm going to give you my spirit. And I'm going to send you into the world with my spirit so that you'll be okay. And we picked the story up there. This is where we're at. And I find it so appropriate that here we are. And so I want to say it to you in this way as my introduction. Friends, you and I live in an uncertain and shaky world. Am I right? Where kings are shaking their fists at one another. Where kingdoms rise and fall, leaving the ordinary man in the street, that's you and me, in case you're wondering, feeling uncertain, anxious and fearful. And while whether we are young or old, we all sit here with our fear and our uncertainties and our anxieties from young and old. As young people, will I find someone to love me? in what's going on in the world around me? Will I even have a future? The older of us, we sit with our own fears and anxiety in this shaky world. Stuff goes through our minds like, will I be replaced by AI? Answer is probably yes. Will I raise my kids and will they grow up to love me? How do I raise my kids? How do I be a faithful follower of Jesus in these times in which I live? And so we all sit with our fear and our anxiety in an unsettled and uncertain and a shaky world. And the message of the God story is found in the pages of the Bible is this message for us. And I want to remind you of this. That God Almighty took on flesh in the person of Jesus Christ because of his undying and pursuing and relentless love for creation, for you, for your neighbor, for your children. And he finds us because right from the beginning, old Adam and Eve, the moment they took a bite of that fruit, declared their independence from God. Saying, God, we don't need you, we don't want you, we can do our own thing. And ever since the entire New Testament, we just read of people trying to set up their own kingdoms and empires rise and fall. And we see conflict and we see abuse and we see war and we see hatred. And we just see all manners of brokenness in our world until the point where we see God comes, takes on flesh in the person of Jesus. And he finds us in our rebellion. He finds you and me as he's done for 2,000 years. He finds us in our brokenness. The Bible calls that sin. To call us back, to restore us back to him. And he says, can I tell you about a different kingdom? My Father's kingdom. Hebrews 12 reminds us that those who call on the name of the Lord will inherit his kingdom. And his kingdom is built on, the Bible tells us, on the victory that Jesus achieved for us on the cross. And it says, so Jesus is our rock and our foundation. And because he is our rock and foundation and achieved a victory for us on the cross, God's kingdom is unshakable. Find your home in my kingdom and stand on the immovable rock that is Jesus Christ. And the storms may rage about you, but you will not be shaken with Christ as your foundation. And that message is for each and every one of us. Because you remember Easter, just ask Mary, we read of Jesus emerging from the grave, emerging from death, emerging out of the tomb with our names on his lips. Just ask Mary. God is forever calling our names. So God knows your name and he knows my name. And he calls us home to his kingdom. And so parents, part of what was happening here was you saying, God, I want to raise my kid to know and to be a citizen of the kingdom of Jesus so that they can go into the world unshakable, immovable, with Jesus as their foundation. And so we get now to this point in the story where Jesus says, because I rose from the grave and I have achieved a victory, I hold the keys to life and death. And in Matthew 16, it says, hey, to those who call on my name, to those who put their trust in me, I give you the keys of the kingdom. I give you the keys of the kingdom, this unshakable kingdom in a shaking world. I give you the keys to an unshakable kingdom. Now go and engage. Go with my authority. Go with my love and my message and live your life that way. Go into the world with the message of the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. And so, by the way, you're not going to be able to do it on your own, so I am going to give you help. I'm going to give you my very own spirit. And with that, I send you into the world. Let's read a little bit about that. That's where we are in the story. So Matthew 28, let's just root it for ourselves in Scripture, what I'm talking about. Matthew 28, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. So then Jesus came near and he spoke to them. He said, listen, I've received all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Look, and I myself will be with you in this shaky world. I will be with you every day until the end of this present age. And then the book of Acts tells us what happened next. Let's read. So before he was then taken up to be with the Father, working in the power of the Holy Spirit, this is Acts 1, Jesus said this. He instructed the apostles that he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed them that he was alive with many convincing proofs. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, speaking to them about the kingdom of God. While they were eating together, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. He said, this is what you heard from me. John baptized with water, but in only a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. As a result, those who had gathered together asked Jesus, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? See, here they're again about, are you going to build us our kingdom? Jesus replied, it isn't for you to know the times or season that the Father has set by his own authority. Rather, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. In other words, you're going to build my kingdom, not your own, in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in Amstelveen and in Cape Town, Curacao. So he sends them into the world. And this is now the beginning of the church. This is the birth of the church. But he says to them, wait. First, wait. You're not going to be able to do this on your own. You're not going to be able to live life on your own. Parents, you're not going to be able to raise your kids on your own. You need help to live this life in a shaky world. Then we read this in Acts 2, verse 1. When Pentecost day arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound from heaven like a howling of a fierce wind filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw then what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. So Jesus, for 3 or so years, described, demonstrated, taught them about God's kingdom. And that is your home. That's what you were created for. And now has come the point after he has won the victory through his death on the cross and resurrection. He says, okay, now you must go into the world and tell people about my kingdom. And I'm going to give you the help to do that. And here we read, they get together, and this moment happens where fire and wind come upon them, and they are empowered. Can I talk a little bit to you about fire and wind? Because the authors want us to remember that you've actually heard about wind and fire before. You've come across this as you've read the Bible in the Old Testament. Do you remember that moment when in the Old Testament, when old Moses, he was just minding his own business, tending with the flock in the wilderness, and all of a sudden he sees this shrub, this bush, and it was what? On? And God spoke to him and called him. And it was a symbol for them of the presence of God. The calling presence of God, the life-altering presence of God. Do you remember when God, when they had been set free, the Israelites, from Egypt, and they were in the wilderness, and they didn't know where to go? Or, do I go left? Do I do right? Do I buy my house, sell my house? Do I do this? Do I, you know, they didn't know which way to go. They were wandering in the wilderness. Do you remember what happened? There was a pillar of that did what? Guided them, led them. So as you read the Old Testament, you think about fire, you are reminded of this. This means God is present. It means God is powerful. It means God helps, God directs, God leads. Remember Mount Sinai with Moses and the Ten Commandments and the fire of God. You remember that? God makes promises to us. God loves us. Remember wind. You remember right at the beginning of the God story, at creation, the what? The wind, the breath of God did what? Created everything. Where there was nothing, it created. Life-giving breath of God. You remember also as they left Egypt and they were faced with a Red Sea and a sea and they couldn't cross the sea. You remember what happened? The wind, the breath of God blew and it parted the sea. You remember that? So in the Old Testament, we come to understand about wind and fire. It means the presence, the life-giving power of God, the leading direction of God upon His people. And so now, as we read in the New Testament, we are meant to make the connection. We are meant to think, oh, hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. That same wind that created life where there was nothing. That same wind that blew and parted the sea and made a way where there seemed to be no way is now blowing upon these people in the New Testament, the church. We mean to stop and think, oh, hang on a minute, that same fire that led the people when they didn't know what decision to make in their lives, which way to go. That same fire that called Moses and changed his life, that same fire was now falling upon God's people, infilling flesh, inhabiting flesh. So here's the thing, what can possibly be better than God in the flesh as in Jesus? God in all flesh. Huh? What's better than God in the flesh? God in all flesh. And so God fulfills His promise. He's saying, I want to breathe my breath of life, my life-giving breath, my fire upon you, and send you with my presence into the world. Through the coming of the Spirit, humankind would be completely inhabited and immersed with God's breath, and so carry His presence into a shaky world. The unshakable Jesus, carry that into the world. Just a thought, one or two very quick thoughts, and then I'm going to wrap it up. And then I want to take some time to pray for you, if that's okay. Can I just talk about wind a little bit? What does wind do, and is representative here in the story of how the church was born and how these disciples, these timid followers of Jesus were in this room and how we see how it changed their lives and they went out. I think the thing to remember about wind is this, wind brings width. And we see that. We set our sails and it moves us. It moves me from A to B. It moves me from here to there. It did that for those disciples. They were in the upper room scared. And then the wind, the breath of God came and it moved them from there into the corners of the world, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the world. It moved them from A to B. Wind brings width, it brings growth, it brings movement, it brings expansion. Those of you who sail, I know there's some of you who love sailing. You set your sails and the wind moves you from here to there. And so it helped them to take the message of the kingdom, the gospel message of Jesus, to new places. But before it did that, it took them internally to new places. And I don't know about you, but I want that. I need that. I long for that. And that is my prayer for each and every one of us, for every family here, for every parent here, for every single one of us here. Lord, will your spirit fall afresh on me? Will you breathe your breath upon me? Will you move me from here to where you need me to be? The places where I have gotten stuck in my life, and we have those places, do we not? The places where I've been stuck for a long time and there's been no growth, there's been no movement, there's been no development, there's no width that's been there. Those stuck places, will you make me unstuck by your love and your spirit? Will you move me from here to there? Will you breathe your breath, your life-giving breath upon us, I pray. As the stress and the strain of living in a shaky world finds its way into my home, into my marriage, into my personal life, breath of God, will you breathe your new life-giving breath in me? And move me. Will you bring width, new width in my life? And then, will you help me to take that new life to new places? Will you bring new people across my path? Will you give me the courage, as those disciples said, to go into the streets and speak of this person, Jesus, who changes everything? If we are to know the reality of the unshakable nature of God's kingdom and love for us in a shaky world, then we need the breath of the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and be with us. Who wants it? Okay, there's three of us. Okay, we're good. Don't worry, the three of us, we're going to change the world. What's better than God in the flesh? God in all flesh. That's what God wants to do for you and me. Fire very quickly, and then I'm done. What does fire do? Let me say this. Let me make the connection this way between wind and fire. So what wind does, it brings width, right? It takes me to new places internally, but also externally. And so we saw how the disciples went, and they met all these new people speaking strange languages, and all suddenly the church grew, and they're all new people, different cultures, different languages. So, I mean, width is great, but the problem with width is it brings new people. People that I don't know. People that I might not like. People that speak a different language from me. So that's the problem with width. When it takes me new places, it brings new people into my life. And in order for me to love these new strange faces, I need a depth in my soul, do I not? A depth of character, and that's what fire does. Because fire of God comes, that passion comes, and it burns deep within us. It burns all the rubbish that shouldn't be there. I mean, you know what fire does. Those of you who grew up in South Africa, you'll know about fire. And you know where there has been fire, there is always new growth. And so when the fire of God comes and it burns and it purifies from that should not be, we see that new things growing. What's growing? Well, the fruit of the Spirit. That's what growing. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. So Lord, let your fire burn in me because I need to be more patient. I need to be kinder and more gentle and more loving towards my spouse, towards my kids, towards my neighbor, my college roommates, or whatever the case may be. Let your fire burn. Create a depth within me. I'm going to preach for the month of July on John 21, an incredible passage. But in John 21, we encounter fire again. You remember the story? This is now, you remember, so Peter had denied Jesus. And this is how John's gospel ends. And I'm going to end my sermon in this way as well. John's gospel ends with chapter 21. And I think it's for a significant reason. Because remember, Peter now had denied Jesus. Remember? I don't know you, Jesus. I'm doing my own thing. Know nothing about you. Not interested. We pick the story up in John 21 where Peter had now gone back to his old ways. How easy it is for us to go back to our old ways. Who knows about that? So easy for us to go back to our old ways. So he's fishing. And so as he turns, he's fishing, caught nothing, of course. He turns and there's Jesus on the beach and he's made what? A fire. Now, what is interesting is that the way fire is described there, it only appears twice in the entire Bible, this word fire like this. Twice only. Here where Jesus is making fire on the beach, calling to Peter and the other disciples who were fishing with him, making them breakfast, and it appears one other place. It appears that moment when Peter was standing around another fire. And you know John already. I've told you about how John, every symbolic thing means something in John. That moment when Peter stood around a fire when he denied Jesus. And so here he is, Jesus waiting for him around a fire. You can just imagine. Can I tell you what's been my prayer of late? Lord, will you help me understand? Please show me what happened between you and Peter on that beach. That's been so incredible. So here's Peter, and Jesus made a fire. And he says, Peter, come. Let's gather around the fire. And so the fire here becomes the place, not of condemnation, but of restoration. That fire, and this is part of the work of fire. It's part of what the fire of God does because we are good, like Peter, at going back to our old ways. Night fishing. We're great at it, doing our own thing. And so we wander from God. And so you might say, yes, Lord, I would love your fire and wind in my life. I'm stuck and I'm lifeless and I'm so blasé about life. I would love to experience you in a new, beautiful way, the reality and the power of the Creator, living God. I want to know him and experience in my life. But Lord, I've been doing night fishing. I've been doing my own thing. I've been ignoring you and living my own way. I've denied you so many times, I cannot even count. Peter, only 3 times. I probably 3,000. That was just this week. And here on the beach around a fire, fire becomes the place where God says, do you love me? You love me? You love me? Okay, go feed my sheep. In other words, he said to Peter, I forgive you. We're okay. You're restored. And so what fire does is, the purifying, that depth that fire brings, it helps me to first of all receive God's love. And then from a place of being loved, I am now positioned to do the things that Jesus did, in particular, love God back, love my neighbor, and love myself. That's what the fire of God does. Okay, I need to stop. So the centrifugal thing, effect that the Spirit has, it brings with, it does new things in us and it takes us new places. But also the centripetal thing that it does, not only does it bring width, but it brings depth, it brings us together. Wind and fire. Let's pray. Right, I'm going to do this. In 2 weeks' time, it's Pentecost Sunday. I'm going to do this. If you want and long for God to do something fresh in you, I'm going to ask you to stand and I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to ask you to do something, one more extra thing. ask you to close your eyes. And under the courage of your conviction, I'm going to ask you, maybe you're used to it, maybe you've never done it before, just to lift your hands out, just stretch your hands out as a sign of like God, okay, as a sign of like God wanting to give you something and you wanting to receive it. Just put your hands, it can be, if it's really good for you, just on the side so that nobody will even notice. But just stretch your hands out and say, God, I want to receive your spirit afresh. And so, Lord, I pray for each and every one of us as I pray for myself. Living in this chaotic, crazy world with so many questions and so much uncertainty, I'm reminded that you are unshakable. Your kingdom will endure forever. And that you gave your life so that I can be a citizen of this kingdom. So today I stand before you. And I pray, Spirit of God, fall afresh on me. Breath of God, I surrender to you and invite you to do something new in my life. Internally, will you take me new places where I've been stuck? Will you help me to get unstuck? Where my heart has grown cold, will you set me alight? Breath of God, breathe your life in me, I pray. Fire of God, will you cleanse and purify me from those things that are in my life that should not be there, that is harming me and my relationships? And my relationship with you. Spirit of God, will you purify me from those things? Lord, I pray you'll fill us with a new love, a new power, and a new desire for you. In these days, will you raise us up to be a people absolutely head over heels in love with you, wanting only to know and seek and do your will in our lives? Come, Holy Spirit, fall afresh on us. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening, and we hope that you have a wonderful week. See you next time.